Because we have a date that we begin and we have a date that we must end.
그러나 아사카는 김에게 제도가 없네. 이 그간을 이렇게 빡빡해.
Vitamins cannot help. Vitamins cannot help.
바이타민소 아마니 누요는 아니야발라마. 마티크보다 많이.
And good organic food.
맨날 이게 인도도 유해하.
Cannot help.
맛보다 많지.
It will just help you to live healthier.
누구 왔거든 무슨 한노 앞에. 에이 람사 감시오.
But it cannot lengthen your days. Don't give it.
아버지나
He chooses the day he gives.
에이 옛터치한 그게 오나나.
And the Lord take it away.
에이 아버지께 가보내라시.
And he chooses the day he takes away.
에이 예행게 같이하나 그게 와보야마시나.
Therefore we must make good use of our time.
에나 아버지나 그게
For a minister. For a minister,
time
is the most important thing to him. Time management is a very important thing for God's servants. That time that we spend with him. Is the most important time.
When the coucou, the French, the Français, et le Béla, ça va? L'anglais est vrai, ça va pour tout le monde. Parce que hier, on a fait l'anglais français. Ce matin, avec l'anglais, le B, ça va avec tout le monde. Il y a quelqu'un qui ne comprend pas? Il y a quelqu'un qui ne comprend pas le B?
Okay. Your people, they work 40 hours a day, a week.
Okay.
Some work even longer. And they trust. That while they are working, that you are watching over their souls. They work 40 hours, and they faithfully pay your tithing. Therefore, we must every day also put in our time. That's why our time is so precious. Because if you don't put in the time, you cannot reap any good. And every pastor wants to see his people grow. And it takes good food, good water, and good care to have strong sheep. That's why time is precious to us. That's why you're given deacons. Deacons were given for one reason. To protect the time of the pastor. They are your protectors. They are your shield. Because your time is important to God. Because you are committed the most precious gift that He has. His people. You might say, why am I telling you this? Because you know this. I'm saying it because I don't want to waste your time today. Your time is precious to me. Therefore, if I say anything that you already know, if I present anything And did not add anything to you. I have wasted your time. A time you will never get back. That is how important your time is. Then if I say something that you might not know, you might not know if it's right or wrong. I did not waste your time. But I provoked you to search out the truth.
Amen.
It is important when you hear different things that you take the time to search it out. To say, I don't believe it, is to be careless. Because if I had $1 million and it was in a dirty brown bag, and I said that bag is valuable, if you look at the bag, you look at the outside, and you would say to yourself, who would put $1 million in a dirty bag? Maybe the same one who put his son in a stable. Maybe wrapped in swaddling
cloths.
But if you are really careful, you will do what the Spirit says. Come and see, John. Come and see.
Johannes,
amen.
And so your time will not be wasted.
Come on.
It is only wasted if you leave here learning nothing, or if you leave here unchallenged. If you leave here with questions, I did my job. Because I provoked you to go and look. Then you can say yea or nay. For the book of wisdom says, he that judges a matter without hearing the whole matter is in folly.
And
so I would like to continue. Our subject is the seventh seal. And we titled the first part, the man and his message is one. And we learned that his message is the seventh seal. When he looked at the seventh seal, and he saw the angel with the swept back
name,
he said the peculiar angel. He meant more to me. He said the thing I wondered about all my life. What did he wonder about all his life? He wondered about the 1933 prophecy. The prophecy says, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming of Christ, your message will now we know what his message is. His message is the seventh seal. And that message must have a people to believe it. We call her the bride. 39 of Feast of the Trumpets.
Le.
The prophet said, the bride is caught up in the mystery of the seventh seal. If it's a mystery, it must have been in the Word. And if it's in the Word, it can only be revealed by a prophet. That's his message. We are caught up with this message. And to understand that message, you cannot separate it from the man. Because he gave us a key. A man and his message is one.
You
cannot separate the seventh seal from the man. Watch carefully. What is the man representing? The man is representing the Son of Man. A son of man. Representing the Son of Man. That's two egos there.
That
is ego prophet. And Jehovah eager.
But Jehovah.
It takes two prophets to make Son of Man. And you cannot confuse these two prophets. Moses was an eagle. But Jehovah eager came down. Jesus was spoken of by Moses. Your Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet. And he said, I do nothing but what I see Jehovah eager show me. And he called that Jehovah eager his father. I said that same eagle, Jehovah eagle, has appeared back again in human flesh. And if that is part of the seventh seal, how can you separate the man from the message? Therefore, it's important we define what or who is the Son of Man. Son of Man has three meanings. Son of Man is different from a Son of Man.
A Son of Man is
a prophet anointed by ministering spirits. Angels. But this Son of Man is a prophet anointed by God himself. They are not the same. Therefore this Son of Man is God in the form of a man, and that man must be a prophet. God in the form of a prophet. Second meaning of Son of Man is a dispensation between Son of God and Son of David.
A
ministry between his priesthood and his kingship. Between his priesthood and his kingship.
Okay.
And third meaning of Son of Man.
Aye, I'm going to talk to you about the government of the
It's a ministry.
Aye, subosumodo.
A ministry that is distinguished by three points.
Subosumodo si regemsa mento pukhane amuke jisi.
Now, when you read Son of Man,
as on niyebe akule, I'm going to talk to you about.
It can mean any one of these. And within the quote, it might be a combination of these. But the first one is a person. The second one is a dispensation. And the third one is a ministry. You do not make a ministry a man. But a man is given a ministry. And that ministry can only come in the right season. The prophet called that the junction of time. It happens only one in a generation. Therefore, this is connected with the seventh seal. So let's look at it. Our scripture is Matthew 24,
14.
Can we put it up? Maybe a brother read it in English and somebody read it in whatever language.
Matthew 24:14.
Yes. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for the witnesses unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Notice carefully. We must be able to find the 1933 prophecy in the scripture. Because the prophet said, if the angel ever told me anything, if it's not in the Bible, I will not receive it. And he believed the prophecy. Now watch carefully. Matthew 24 says this gospel.
Yes.
And the prophet says in the seal book in Matthew 24, Jesus was opening the seals.
Yes.
I know you know that. I'm sure you preached that. But the interesting thing about it is after the seals were open, Jesus prophesied.
Yes.
This was a prophecy. Just like 1933. That was a prophecy. Your message. His message is the gospel. His message is the gospel of today. Don't confuse the word message with gospel. Because the gospel came by prophets. Men of old. moved by the Spirit of God.
So in the
1933 prophecy,
your gospel
will forerun the second coming. And the second coming is the rapture. And that is the end. That is the end for the bride on the earth. And in Matthew 24,
he
said, after this gospel is preached, then comes the end. What end? After the gospel, then comes the end. What is the end for the Gentile bride? Is it not the second coming? Is it not the rapture? Watch the prophecy. Your gospel will prolong the second coming. It means after your gospel, after your message, there is no more message.
Yeah.
He that is filthy, let him remain filthy. He that is righteous, let him remain. You stay in the condition that you're in. And if this message don't free your soul, you remain a soul in prison. Bound by denominational husband. Bound to a denominational husband. So Matthew 24:14 and the 1933 prophecy is the one and the same. Because the prophet message cannot happen without the opening of the seals. And the prophecy of Matthew 24 happens after Jesus opened his ears.
Amen.
Therefore, this gospel is the message
that must come forth
first before the second coming. The second coming represents the end. At the end for the bride. Because she will be taken to be with the bridegroom. Then he will finish his future home. Let us examine. If you don't know what his message is, then we can never bring a bride to rapture. We need to know what is his message.
Yes.
Your message.
Yes.
His message is this gospel after the book is opened.
Yes.
Therefore, this gospel is the seventh seal. In Revelation 10, that gospel is called seven thunders.
Yes.
In 1 Thessalonians, this gospel is called a show.
Yes.
That's what this gospel is called.
Yes.
If I look down in 1933 now, I could say it like this. Your gospel. Seven thunders. Your shout will forerun the second coming of Christ. Now, watch the prophet, the man and his ministry, watch it. In 1933, it was an age of visions. It started the age of visions. Before 1933, it was the age of
visions.
And we are moving into an age, a prophetic age. Because he said the last people, the bride, will be a prophetic class of people. How can you be a prophetic class without a prophet?
So
in 1933, prophetic visions begin to open.
Oh,
in 1933, watch how the prophet life is tied with his message. He has a vision of three trees. The three trees lay side by side. He said, I never went to the right or to the left.
I
never went to the right or the left. And he interpreted. He said, I never went to the oneness and I never went to the Trinity. He said, I went to the middle of tree. And he said, the fruits begin to fall from the middle tree. If you notice something, the prophet is connected with two members of the bride. These two members of the bride represent two ages. The first one was his first wife. He met her at the end of 1929. And by 1930, he started going to church at Dr. Roy Davis. Notice, she was his wife.
That's right.
She was a Trinitarian. Prophet don't know about Trinity. Prophet don't know about cutting your hair. Prophet don't know about conduct, order, and doctrine. He just got converted. He just became a Christian. Watch carefully. His first wife, because he represents the seventh angel to Laodicea, represent he will have a bride in the Laodicean age, a Pentecostal age. Watch the 1933 prophecy. Do you know his wife, Hope, was not at the Ohio River? She was working. She was working in a shirt factory. She was not at the Ohio River. She never heard the prophecy. She never heard the angel spoke. But do you know who was on the bank of the Ohio River? His wife to be. Sister Mida was at the bank. Because that was his wife to bring the bride age. Notice Pentecost.
And you know, Pentecost.
Hope is not connected with Elijah. Brother Branham was not going to marry Mida.
Mm-hmm.
And Mida went to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Lord, I'll open up this Bible. Show me your will in the scriptures. And as she opened up the Bible, it fell on Malachi 4.
Amen.
That is who Elijah was sent to. She represents the bride in the bride age.
Yes.
Watch carefully. The first Pentecostal bride. Connected with the prophet. Was his first wife. Notice. What did he produce with his first wife? A Billy. A man after his own nature. A Billy Paul. What did he produce in his second wife? She produced a Sarah. She produced a Rebecca. She produced a Joseph. But in his first wife, he produced a Billy.
Why?
No.
Amen.
In his vision of the three trees, he represents that was
Pentecost.
The tree on the right. And the tree on the left was the oneness and trinity in the Pentecostal age. That was what he saw in the vision. He saw that bride group waiting for him. But when he saw the preview of the bride, that was not the Pentecostal bride. That was the universal bride. Because his message, the bride message, is a universal message.
Yes.
So he was connected with three trees. The middle tree represents them in the bride age. He said, I never went to the right. I never went to the left. I came to the middle tree. And when I did, he said, the fruits begin to fall. His life, his message, you cannot follow him. 1933 again. 7 major visions. He was raised up in America.
America,
a type of the land of Israel.
America, Israel,
a type of the land of milk and honey. An American prophet. Rising up in America. With a message. The first message. The prophet ever preached. In Pentecost. Is the rich young ruler. Watch his message. He follows this caravan.
And
he comes to his first Pentecostal meeting. That's when he got his first taste of false anointed ones in the end times. Two men with gifts.
One genuine.
The kind in an talk.
One is a hypocrite.
For a failure, I don't.
Not only in that meeting. Who was William Branham? What did he represent? What did Pentecost represent? Notice he goes to the meetings representing a Baptist minister. He went there. Represent a Baptist minister. That is what his identification was. But God's identification of him. No, you represent seed.
Amen.
You represent grain. You say, how do you know that? Because when they were calling William Branham, come forth, minister, Baptist minister William Branham.
Oh, Baptist, don't go for William Branham.
It was not time for him to come. Because he was seen. And the Pentecost was shocked. And the seed was not ready to come forth from the shock. So when they were calling him, the seed is hiding in the shock. Seed hiding in the shock.
Oh, nous poussons la gomme.
Because it was not time for the seed to come. What was this text? The rich young ruler. What does the rich young ruler represent?
Laodicea.
Rich. He went and built barns, increasing goods. Had need for nothing. That's what he represents. Do you know the last message he preached after communion? Rich young ruler. Rich young ruler. He titled it leadership. They rejected his leadership. A genuine Gentile prophet from America.
The
Laodicean America rejected him. He represents seed. And he was on the outside. Knocking, trying to get in. That is why in 1933, the last vision he had, he saw America burning. He didn't say Europe. He didn't say China. He said America. Burning. Why? Why am I saying that? Watch the connection. Because if his message is the last message before the coming of the Lord, then he's the last message before Sodom burns. After his message, Sodom will burn. Watch Malachi 4:1. What does it say? This is after the prophet message. What is written in Malachi 4:1? A preview was being seen in the vision of the prophet in
1932.
Read Malachi 4:1.
Verse 1.
For behold, the day cometh that they shall burn as and oven, and all the proud.
Yea,
and all that do wickedly shall be stumbled, and the day that come shall burn them up, say the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch.
Introducing a prophetic
age.
A prophet. He showed a vision of three trees. He showed seven major visions. He's given a divine commission to do the work of an evangelist. He prophetic used Branham Tabernacle to lay a cornerstone. A major prophecy goes to him. Major prophecy. Your message shall forerun the second coming. All in 1 month, within a month or two. Floods of visions is coming. Establishing a major prophet is on the earth. And now we realize that what was done in 1933. Is now being understood at the opening of the seventh seal. And the things that he was wondering about. Do the work of the evangelist. For the time will come when Pentecost will put you on the outside. Because when you were with them in the shock, they protected you, they fed you, they used you. But now the seed is coming forth. The shock is pulling away. So the seed is here with the shock. Seed is not here with the shock. There are two things there. Watch the verse. The seed, singular. Is not here with the shock now. They have no part of him and he has no part of them. That's why he said, come out. Watch the second prophecy. Seed shall not be air with the shock. That's you and I, that's the bride. We are not here with the shocks. How can seed and shock be gathered together? That's what the wings of doctrine is for. See, we are always trying to stop false doctrine.
Oui.
We are always hiding our people from false doctrine. And then you come to the church. And you say the prophet said, this bride will never be deceived. This bride cannot be deceived. You only hide when you don't have an inoculation. You hide from COVID. When you don't have the shot. You don't hide. If you have the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
Why hide? Christ cannot be deceived. She is sealed unto the day of redemption. We as shepherds, we want to keep all our people.
We want to
protect all our people from him. Who are you protecting them from? The devil? Who are you protecting them from? The devil? Where's the devil? He is the next message church over. He's the next message pastor over. He's the next good preacher over. We want to keep all our people. And then we come and preach to the church. Every church has three kind of believers. And when God is using the message preachers who preach false doctrine to pull the unbeliever and make believer away from you. You are upset. You are vexed.
Amen.
I don't understand. Don't you just want grain? To separate the grain from the shocks. You have to let the winds of force go. That is what the Bible says. No. But we know who we are. We know whom we believe in. We know what we believe in. And we know who's coming for us who believe in it. We must not have unbelief. Because when we saw unbelief in our people, what you are afraid of will come to pass. That's why you must say, if somebody trying to pull people from your church, you must shake their hands. If you could pull them, you're happy to keep them. First generation. I'm not going to hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. You cannot beat your type. Third generation did not have all the books and tapes. How can you understand the message with a few books and tapes? How can you understand major doctrine with a few books and tapes? That is why the first generation is to blame. The young generation is not to blame.
Voilà que a mãe eu vai ser de viu a não só eu vai ser de boa a mãe fomo.
Where did the doctrine of 1963 is the coming of the Lord? Where did they come from?
Assim que a mãe eu dona vana para de cala faz que vai ter quanto aí o contra no o código na vale assim que a mãe
Not second generation. That was first generation. The Lord has already come. No communion. No foot washing. Where did two souls come from? Not second generation. Where did polygamy come from? Not second generation. Where did the return ministry come from? Where did seven thunders and seven virtues come from? Where did 7 year tribulation come from? Second generation?
No.
You say, how did that happen? Because they only had a few books. Second generation have computers. While you are preaching, they check in the codes. Now watch carefully. This is what the prophet taught. And it's very frightening. But the thinking, human thinking is so different from God. We always believe. First men in the message. Know so much. They are the foundation of the message.
Yes.
That is how human thinking is. The older is the purer.
What's
your prophet?
What? You
2 million under pillar fire.
Let the lipo
under token.
Let the silapa
under slain lamb.
Let Alevisu will have a
Exodus.
Let Gudu the bank on. And most of the government.
And if you read Exodus, Exodus 11, I'm not sure.
He
said, a mixed multitude came up.
Oh, Who
gave the trouble in the first generation?
Dathan,
Korah. And the princes.
Abira,
Abira.
Yeah.
They were leaders.
I'm a non-blown and local pastor.
That's right.
Now watch again.
I thought you left
the prophet said, one.
And you the cap with the million, the cap.
He's not counting the Philistine.
Woman, the Philistine is telling him.
He's not counting the Jebusite.
He
is not counting the only them in the message.
What we did with that shima toy? Oh, maybe you're a gun, but a cat will do it.
12:38.
Okay. I'm going to get him over there. I'll get him. You can use the papa of a yak down here for a book of that.
12,
right?
Yes.
Yeah,
12.
Now, one generation was Dathan and Korah.
First generation.
They told Jesus.
Voilà, Yesu.
Our father ate manna in the wilderness.
Voilà, mia fofou du manna le béagi.
What did Jesus say?
Qu'a Yesu dit?
They are everyone dead. And the prophet interprets it separated from God.
It's
not to promote disrespect.
Unless
that generation dies, the new generation cannot go further.
Their
influence and their money will keep the young generation.
If
this is a young man,
he
cannot see more than them.
Because
if he does,
he will
kill his influence.
Okay. And if
he is
inexperienced,
then to maintain favor and the honor of men, he will dishonor the truth that God has revealed to him.
In every
country, it is the same. I'll give you some example. Some of the greatest preachers in America. And I'm going to call a few names. This brother, I'll have to forgive you. Watch carefully. One of the greatest ministries in America was a ministry from Lima, Ohio. You know, he was a great teacher. Lonnie Jackson.
Lonnie Jenkins.
And he had a son. Who was a pastor of the church. After they had become powerful. After they have become wealthy. After this message had made them rich.
Jeff Jenkins.
Now,
Asma.
He walked away from the message. He said the prophet was false. This message is not true. The cloud was a lie. You know who preached for him? All the big names.
Yeah. Huh?
Harold Beckett.
Eddie Biscoe.
Donnie Reagan. You mean they couldn't tell? You mean there's no way to tell seed from non-seed?
Oh, come on.
This is the believers from that church.
This
is my advice to them. If I had a pastor and spent so many years with him teaching me about the prophet and the message, then he turned around and said, not true. Turn around and say he's false prophet. I am going to him and say I want all my tithing back. I want every penny. If you have to mortgage your house, I want my money back. Because you told me you believe this. First generation. did not make it.
Wo ma tell you.
The book of Jude.
Mo che itana.
Jude.
Judah pagbale.
1:4-5.
Judah pagbale. E kama kuta kunye na kuku ye njama la tonya.
I have a point to this. This it's not just trying to be. I have a point to make.
Na me meti ma ma koro.
If you are second generation. Remember this.
You don't come here.
Every time you make two steps into the greater truth.
But the say you can't for ever gain nya the bear blue bubble.
That first generation will pull you back one step.
Na na da form of here. Jiti me ba to mo to wa. Uda ha for the car go you.
That's why God had to wait for them to die. For Joshua to take them into the promised
land.
If your prophet told us, you cannot beat your tithe.
You cannot
beat your tithe, your shadow intact. You cannot beat it. You cannot change it.
Okay. I just want to maintain our level of view.
In other words, an elephant does not reflect like a thin man in the shadow. It must reflect like an elephant. And the Old Testament first generation under a prophet cannot reflect anything but what's today.
Jude 1:5.
Listen carefully.
I will therefore put you in remembrance, brought you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, after destroyed them that believed not. They never entered into this gospel. They used all the terminology, but they mixed it with what came out of Egypt. Their heart still had Egypt in it. And they were still longing for things from Egypt. And this message, this gospel, has no tradition.
Amen.
Amen. And this gospel, this closed book, has a lot of tradition. When you mix this gospel with this gospel, you have death.
Come on,
let's look at it. This man and this gospel. Watch carefully. If there is this gospel of the open book, then there is this gospel of the closed book. Under the closed book, this is starlight. And under this gospel, is sunlight. Starlight. So there's a closed book gospel. And this is what Revelation 3:14 is. I'm
going to
put some charts up for you to better understand. Very carefully. That's not the one I really want. I want the one before that. Right here. Yeah. I want you to notice something. Brother Branham was Revelation 3:14.
Has
a different anointing. Has a different commission.
Then
Revelation 10:7.
Revelation 3:14.
Is the messenger rebuking the age? Calling them to repent. Now listen to this. How can you call someone to repent when you never met them? How can he call an age to repent when he never left his own little city? Never left the city.
You never.
Parler de ça aux gens, tout le monde, si tu es toujours dans ton dans ta ville quoi.
Ok. Là tu n'as pas moi. À quoi on est mal, à moi je suis malasse. Et y a pas aujourd'hui mon élève, tu vas prendre quoi parler?
What time is it?
Quand est-ce que vous?
It's quarter to 12.
Quarter to 12. We quit at 2, right? Okay, listen carefully. I'm going to break it down. I have some time. I will break it down. Let's go back to his life. Let's go back to when he got married. Now at that time, 33, he got married in
34.
Born 1935. 1936, father dies. Another brother dies. And 1937 is flood. His daughter dies. And his wife dies. He said they died because he listened to his mother-in-law. What was so bad about listening with his mother-in-law? This was the problem. When he laid the initial cornerstone, the scripture God gave him was to do the work of an evangelist. An evangelist is not a pastor of a local church. Evangelists go from church to church, state to state, country to country. You see the prophet now under his wife. Leaves her to go fishing. The Mishakawa meetings. I can never pronounce that properly. Let's just say Mishakawa. He followed that Pentecostal group. Now watch carefully. Watch the cornerstone. Do the work of an evangelist. He goes to the Pentecostal meeting. And in that meeting, he begins to mingle with the Pentecostals. And they begin to invite him to all their churches. And he said he was booked up for 1 year. That was the fulfilling of the beginning of the prophecy, do the work of an evangelist. That was necessary for him to see the country, see the churches, because how can he rebuke an age he does not know? He does not know the church and its condition. He's not preaching Jezebel religion there. He's not seeing denomination. He's not seeing the mother harlot. He's not seeing her daughters. Because he's never left his state. He has never traveled. And now he had the opportunity to travel. His mother-in-law got in the way. Because if the prophet had gone on the evangelistic field in 1937, actually between 36 and 37, the first call would have begun. The ministry would have started right there. Therefore, from 1937 to 1945, God refused to use God refused to talk with him. He said, I pray for the sick to remain sick.
I prayed
for the dying, they died. God refused to use him. That was the age of learning. He's learning by suffering. You listen to me, not your mother-in-law.
Made
another mistake. He listened to the ministers in South Africa. How did he learn? Through suffering. What is God teaching him? Learn ye obedience by the things he suffered. From 1937. That's called the silent year. Nothing happened in his ministry. He took over Milton Baptist Church. And between him and Brother Wright, they looked after two churches. No evangelism. No major visions. And no first
fruit.
Then from 1945. Reverend Haggerty. Invited him for a revival. And in that revival, God began to anoint him again. Now he starts his first full ministry. What was the purpose of the first book? To send them around the world. How can he be a messenger of the age and he doesn't even know what's in the age? How can he rebuke what he does not know and what he does not see? And as he begins to travel, he began to come into the anointing of this of Revelation
3:14.
By doing the work of an evangelist, he got to visit the churches. As an evangelist, he had crusades and healing campaigns. And now, he comes back to his local church. After seeing what's in the age, I start preaching the church and its condition.
Jezebel
religion.
Isabel, first subosubo.
Christianity versus idolatry.
Christus subosubo, chitrele, subosubo.
What is happening? The anointing of Revelation 3:14. To call the age to repent. That was the second part of the commission of evangelism. To call the age to repentance. Not the individuals. Notice when believers come to Brother Branham.
Say,
Brother Branham, my church don't believe this. He said, go back and be a light. See, he's not Revelation
18:14.
He's not Revelation
18:14. Go back and be the light.
Okay, Troy, you want to make a very last one. I'm not putting an exact away a new book with the back of our own area.
Brother, my church don't teach this.
Oh, no, me to Brana. Never touch your mama, send me out.
A half a loaf is better than no loaf.
Oh, I'm like, I found a share. And you want to come and show home.
Sister, go back and be salty.
I don't mean you know what, Loy, eh, it's an animal.
He's not interested in the individual repentance.
Hey, Allah, open your mind, I'm going to come with you.
He's interested in the age repenting. He is a church age messenger.
Amen.
He's here to call the churches to repentance. That's Revelation 3:14. Don't mix these two up.
There
are two different commissions. Only after they refuse the evangelistic commission, and the church age will not repent, now he stands in a breach. That's where Revelation 5 comes in. Revelation 5 is the breach here between 3:14 and 10:7. He cannot, they will not repent. They can't go forward without a message. Now he has to wait for the opening of the seals. Now he's moving from evangelistic office to prophetic office. The seventh angel is a prophet. Because he deals with mysteries. And as he opens up the first six seals, he says, come out of here, my people. He's not sending them back. He's not sending the believers back. Why? Denominational age runs out. And a bright age is opening up. As a new ministry is coming on the scene. A prophetic ministry. Not with signs and wonders, but with the word.
Amen.
Watch carefully.
Amen.
So it's a calling out.
Come on,
and when the bride is called out, she's no longer on the starlight. She's on the moonlight. And they have been restored back to the apostolic teaching that the apostolic fathers taught. Now, this is where I would like for you to pay attention. You see here, it meant Brother Branham was preaching from a closed book. And this means the prophet was able to take you back to what Paul taught.
That's
restoration back to apostolic fathers. But that is not where the bride is. This is where the bride is. The opening of the first six seals brings you back to apostolic fathers. But The seventh seal.
Pour que nous
traînons. Starlight, sunlight.
Nous traînons Adrenia.
Bring you back. Bring you back to the Adam condition.
Throw it at that first.
He two restorations.
You four, nous t'entrons un haut.
Malachi 4 has two parts. Restore the heart back to apostolic fathers.
What?
And under Luke
17:30.
Brings you back to Adam, Eve, and
Eden. Which
gospel, which message?
Nyanika, Bodashika.
Is your message.
Amen.
Yeah.
What is the man and his message? Revelation
3:14.
Is that the man and his message? When God sent Moses to Egypt, what message did he give Moses? None. Just two sons. When did Moses get his message?
When
did Moses get his message? After they came out of Egypt. They became the church called
Lord.
Then he
take
them up to the mountain. Pyramid Mountain.
Then
on that mountain.
Pyramid
then
it's
under.
Oui.
That's where I want to start with. Which message are you teaching? Which man? And which message is your message?
3:14.
You will die.
Naku.
10:7. You will die.
Naku.
Malachi 4. Back to the early church.
Malachi 10. Naturally, I'm back to our.
You stay there.
Inasiasima.
You die.
Naku.
The bride is caught up in the mystery of the Lord.
Thy
light is come, is not starlight.
Thy
light is come,
is
not
starlight.
Thy light is come, is
sunlight.
You say, brother,
I go, oh, no,
how would I know what light I'm under? How do I know what message I am teaching? This is the problem. Because the prophet
had
messages that he
preached.
He taught. With the book closed. Let's take a look. Under starlight,
le.
See, I know we don't do this. Someone helps me. So,
I'm going to correct it.
But it's important you read it for yourself.
Well, of course, you will not talk happily.
Oh, and it's French.
Yeah, close that.
Okay, how do I get to the other? And I'll tell you what I'll do. If you put a chair there.
Many people you have here.
I just need a loop. How do I
move out?
Okay, how do I go on to the file? Okay. Alright, yeah. Okay, so I'll just keep doing that, minimize it. Alright, let me have this, and I don't need to get up there, I'll just sit right here. Oh yeah. Everybody okay? So we're looking at what is this and what is that gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So Matthew 24.
Matthew, what part of the Bible are you reading?
Is the seven seal gospel.
Yeah, yeah, we turn after the apocalypse.
Then comes the end.
Yeah,
that's the prophecy fulfillment of 1933. So this is how it works. Matthew 13 is the seven church ages that Jesus taught. Matthew 24, the seals and the trumpets. Matthew 25 reveals the book of life. The different sections in the book. Matthew 26 is communion. Matthew 27 is rapture. There's resurrection, sorry. And Acts chapter 1 is rapture. Now watch carefully. The prophet of God says, in Revelation 11, for their ministry will be the ministry of Moses and Elijah according to Israel. Out of Jewish traditions. Listen to him carefully. Moses and Elijah will call Jews out of all Jewish tradition. Just as the seventh angel message calls the bride out of Pentecostal tradition. It means that under starlight, the prophet message had Pentecostal traditions. And you have to leave, you have to know to leave these traditions behind. If you mix it with this gospel, then you just hybrid it. And it will produce death. Under the very message. Watch carefully. The man and his message. So what does the seventh angel to do? Call you out of all Pentecostal tradition. Now, some people say, well, we don't have enough material on the seventh seal. That's not true. Because he has a key written in this quote. If you want to know what the seventh seal, if you want to know what the seventh seal is about, don't study the seventh seal. You have to study the seventh trumpet. And what you see under the seventh trumpet is what is happening under the seventh seal. Hear what he says. The seventh angel message under the same trumpet, which is the seventh trumpet. The same thing exactly. The same seal. Is to what? Call the bride. out of Pentecostal and world tradition.
Amen.
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 Okay. I'm gonna skip most of that. So this is what we must never do. Mix these two gospels. As ministers, the prophet said we must not misplace dislocate or misinterpret. Alright. Again, I mean, we're just moving on.
Now,
you say, well, what is the traditions? The prophet here says, in the four gospel ranks, and so forth, Nazarene holiness, Nazarene pilgrims, they lay hands on the sick. Laying hands on the sick is a tradition. It's a Jewish tradition. There is no laying on of hands in this gospel. Laying on of hands is under this gospel. Everybody's quiet. This is not my words. This is not my teaching. I'm only the posterman.
Okay.
Watch again. In the Bible, there was a man named Jairus. And when he had a little daughter was dying, he said to Jesus, come lay hands on my daughter. And she will live. But the Roman, he had a servant dying. He said, I'm not worthy that you will even come under my roof. Just speak the word and my servant will live. See the difference? The Jews had been taught laying on of hands. That's what the Pentecostals were taught. That's what the Pentecostals were taught. The Romans had been taught authority. So right then and there he gives you a key. What's the key? You have traditions. You have gifts. But here, you only have authority. You have position. This is not like it was in the beginning. This cannot go back to Adam. Adam did not have gifts.
Adam
didn't lay hands.
Adam
did not pray in anybody's name.
Adam
spoke according to his own faith. His own faith. And he said, lion, come forth. Watch what the prophet is telling you.
Look at you.
In Mark 16:16, we use it for outreach and evangelism.
Aha,
missions like Paul's ministry.
No,
the prophet is interpreting Mark 16.
Listen,
one reason the word and mission is always right I want to read it out of the Bible. The last commission that the Lord gave His church is Mark 16 chapter. Beginning at verse 16. This is one of the most outstanding missionary texts that could be taken. You have many pastors here. You have many pastors here. And you have your local churches. How many snakes have you found in your church recently? How many cups of poison have you seen in your church recently? How many scorpions were in your church? But that is what we find when we travel to different countries. But not in churches. In villages. We just came from India. I remember my first trip to India many, many years ago. It was a very funny story. We were waiting on a main road for Tok Tok, you know. And there was a number of people waiting. And then I saw a number of people jumped up on the tuk-tuk, on the
vehicle.
And they had pots. They had pots and drums. So I said to myself, these are very musical people. I thought they were going to sing. So then we went through these elephant grass. The grass is as high as that pole right there. And we travel through these dirt roads. They were beating and making noise. And I'm saying to myself, these people love to worship. When I got there, I asked them, I told them, I said the worship began all the way from the main road. They said that was not worship. He said they have to do that because that's tiger country. And in that village, the tiger had already killed 2 persons. That's the reality out there. That's the reality in the missions. So the prophet is interpreting Mark 16. We always put that in the local church. That's a missionary scripture. Watch again. You must not misplace, dislocate, and misinterpret the word. Let's look at the man and his ministry. The bride church is not in the world. What's the commission? Go into the world. The church is not the world. The prophet is now bringing us into rightly dividing scriptures. What's your prophet? Now what we try to do is try to get the people to believe the Lord Jesus. Just accept him. Without being hands laid on. Now we know there's a scripture that says that. Watch the prophet. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And we don't try to belittle that scripture. Because that's a commission Jesus gave to the church. To lay hands on the sick. But if you'll bear with me, that was more like a Jewish tradition. You got no Jews. Now it's so we have come into the message and we believe the message. And we believe everything is a message. But this is the message. This is open book. In here, there is no tradition. But this gospel, you say what the prophet laid hands. He said, because and he only went to come lay your hands on my daughter and she will. But the Romans. But the Roman centurion had a servant at a point of death. I am not worried that you come under my roof. That's what we ought to be. But we have fallen back to our traditions. Laying on of hands. And so forth. Just read one more of this. The American that's all I know. But I'm trying to accept it without laying hands. You just believe it and walk away. Follow again. Now I believe with all my heart that they are doing what God told them to do. That's their ministry. But if you'll just bear with me a moment. I believe there's a higher way to reach Christ than laying on of hands. From that time on, the prophet said, and this ministry of discernment is now leaving, and I'm stepping into a higher ministry of speaking the word. What are the traditions? This is what we did in, I put myself in it. We did this in the first generation. We did not know better. We all did it. We did not know better. Because we did not know. We did not know what is this message. All somebody had to do was say Book 14, page 5, you read that and you, we all have to take it. We did not know at the opening of the seals, this gospel comes to correct all of the other gospels. This gospel comes to correct all the errors, including the seventh angel errors.
Yes.
I am not correcting a prophet. The Son of Man is correcting the prophet. Watch.
Amen.
You have to know what you're teaching. Now, in these handkerchiefs, I believe I have more success with handkerchief, I guess, than anything else. Especially with the American people. See how blessed you are?
In policy, come out here,
Americans. You are far from being Americans. American people got an idea in their head that somebody has to touch them. Or to do something to them. Or lay hands on them. Wherever they got that. Just a Jewish tradition. I'm trying to get you to believe the Gentile way of it.
So this gospel,
the people have gotten their minds. And the minister has gotten you wait until the end of the service. And then a demon will be afraid. Then you'll be delivered. That's what Hollywood taught us. That's Hollywood gospel. That's not Bible gospel. We accept it as truth. But that's from closed book. The greatest part of deliverance, the greatest opportunity to be healed, the greatest opportunity to get the Holy Ghost, is at the preaching of the word.
Yes.
Not the end of the service. At the end of the service, you're saying the word cannot do it. But a man with a gift could do it. Is the man with a gift greater than the man with the word?
No.
What is it? Tradition. Closed book. Another gospel. This gospel has no tradition. This is the pure word. And it calls for pure faith. Watch again. Prophet says,
never.
But he said to these people there that followed, he said, now that's great faith. I haven't found faith like that in America. Now we want the greater faith. We want to run a higher level. The Lord Jesus wants us to believe him. All again. What is it? What are we doing then? If it's a tradition, it did not come from God. Jesus, don't allow the